Educators, are you inundated with work right now? Are you swamped? Have you not exercised in weeks? Eating fast food often, no time for family, no time for fun. Summer is around the corner, but you're standing on a New York City block in the middle of a rainstorm with no umbrella. Have no fear. The Traveling Principal is here. My name is Jill Colussi, and I'm your host of the show. Today, we're going to talk about what issues are this time of year for leaders and educators, and brainstorm some best practices in how to alleviate the stresses and get your work life back in order so you can begin to think summer thoughts. And so without further ado, let's begin. It's graduation season, it's grading time, it's telling parents about their student outcomes, and it's trying to get everything accomplished so doors can close for maybe a few days. I want to ask you a series of questions to get your mind right, to get you thinking, to get you brainstorming about this year's end. It is late in the spring season, and I think it's appropriate for educational leaders to have at least considered these questions by now. You can save this episode for future use. I would recommend writing down a bunch of these questions or recording them somehow so you can benefit from a checklist. I also can create one for you. You can reach out to me at joe@travelprincipal.com. So without further ado, let's get started. Okay, question number one. Did you circulate an end of the year checklist for your staff? Now, this can be super helpful on a number of fronts, and I would always try to have something like this because it makes for an organized ending, right? You need to collect and store grades. You need to collect attendance records. You might need your keys so you can clean rooms. What about if you have to make room arrangements? You know, we're going to need things packed up in specific rooms. In order to arrange rooms, you need to have them ready for switching, if that's the case, now that I'm thinking about it. And custodians have enough to do. So don't make it any worse by not considering all of the players involved in a room switch. And a simple checklist at the end of the year could get that ball rolling so that doesn't blow up on you. For you secondary folks out there, do you have your graduation requirements in order? I'm not saying the arrangements of the day, but your speech, your plans. What about your awards, your special dedications, should you have any? And usually we think of these too late. What are you going to do that may need some planning time with regards to those? Right now is the time when you can really have that creative idea and put it into motion, because you know it'll make that emotional connection when the time is right. So think about the graduation requirements that you have. Next question, is your hiring under control? Do you know who you need to hire, and have you posted these positions? Hopefully you have. This is best practice done in the middle of your spring semester. It's late in the year and this should have been done by now. If it's not, do it ASAP. There is a trend in this school year that I'm seeing, and there aren't a lot of jobs available. There's not a lot of people moving. So now is the time. If you have not yet, I urge you. And so we skipped right to hiring, but let's talk about evaluations. Are your evaluations complete? What has to happen there at your site? Everybody has a unique setup. So what has to happen with your evaluations? Can you calendar out a solution? Can you fast track typing somehow? Can you get that under control somehow? Evaluations are usually at the end of the year a stressful situation for leaders, kind of the same as what they would be for a teacher, right? Like nobody wants to go through it. So plan it out, organize it, schedule it, so it goes as smooth as possible. Another question for you, is your physical space plan set in stone? Now, what do I mean there? There's always the teacher that's possibly going to leave, and the room is super sought after, and now somebody's got to go in there. There's always a new change of the schedule that requires possibly a shift in physical space. Whatever the reasons may be, a shift in physical space is major in a school because if it's done kind of with one foot in the door and one foot out, it's never complete. And so, that it's extremely crucial that you get buy-in from the people who are moving. You've justified your reasons if you needed to, notified the right people so a plan and a timeline is set in place. That's a lot of just disseminating the information to those that are at play here. So, what is your physical space plan and is it set in stone? Another question that's a little bit more annoying to consider, but nonetheless, a question you're going to have to ask yourself as a school leader: are your reports for your board or superintendents complete? This time of year, we're going to need to show testing results and attendance record tracked data. We're going to need to show evidence of possibly turnover rates, possibly enrollment trends. Your end of the year report for your board or your superintendent is usually something that you're handing in about now, 3/4 of the way through the end of the year, almost closer to the end of the spring semester. So, do you have those reports ready, and what is your plan for completing that if it's something you still need to do? How about this question, which could be unique to your scenario, and if it doesn't apply to you, that's awesome and skip it, but are you able to get on the forefront of a union contract negotiation? This is something that leaders rarely do, and we wait for the time to come, and then we start scheduling meetings and planning topic discussions, etc. What I would suggest is this be ongoing, a rolling conversation. For the purposes of being able to have a smooth negotiation when you are in that season. So I guess what I'm saying to you is if the leader out there that doesn't have a union negotiation year in front of them, perhaps you could set something up where every couple months you send something out and ask for topics. You meet with the union reps, start to get the ball rolling a little bit, at least get an idea of what the negotiation schedule will look like when it comes out. Nothing wrong with getting on the forefront there. And this usually does start to be a topic of conversation at the end of every year. So think about that, your union negotiations, should you have one in front of you, and should you be a part of that as well? I have another one for you here, another question for you here that is a little bit of an advanced Jedi move when it comes to leadership, but I'm going to challenge you with this anyway. Can you meet with a team about the fall to plant a seed now before the year is out? So, in other words, let's say there's new curriculum mandates, let's say there's a new addition to textbooks, let's say there's a new pedagogical delivery of instruction that you guys are working on. Let's say you're doing project-based this year or CTE this year or whatever the case may be. Now would be a good time to meet with a team and let them know prior to the summer that this is what's going on. All too often, I have seen, and I have been on the receiving end of a leader coming to me in the beginning of the school year, early, right before the year begins, and say, "This is what you're going to be doing, and this is how this is going to go. Good luck." I mean, are they setting me up for success? Definitely not. Am I going to have a smooth start to it then, therefore? No. So, what do we do here? We start to plant the seed before the school year is out. You allow summer options for work at compensation, of course, with compensation, because otherwise nobody's going to come in. This is a job, don't forget it. We already give enough as educators, so pay us for time, especially in the summer. I would never have you come in otherwise, but that being said, possibly that's something that would be beneficial. And a couple of hours here and there, a few times a week during the summer, which I'm sure you could figure out how to afford, is definitely going to be worth the money. So consider meeting with a team to plant a seed about something before this year is out. What is it, and when can you do that? Kind of along the same lines, Can you set up a summer goal or create a team that can monitor this for all staff? So, in other words, often leaders will spend their summers working on something that's specific to their needs. And then they're going to roll something out and they're going to lead this change come the fall. All well and good, and I definitely think is something leaders should do, with one minor suggestion. Start before the school year is out. Allow the summer to take its toll of an impact in that process. And in addition, create a team. And the team can monitor this with and for you. I say this because a lot of times leaders will come and say, I looked at the data from the spring and I looked at all summer long and I couldn't think, and here's what our plans are and let's begin. Instead, you can present the data to a team and they have the summer to digest what it says, to identify the trends, even to prepare how that can be shared with the staff in the fall, and then goals can be created as a team, and then that can be monitored as a complete staff. That's how I would roll this out if that's something that you're going to try and do. Another question, a final question I have for you here, not the last one, but in this series of lists that just came to me, what are you doing about fall planning? Is your schedule complete? Are your students assigned teachers? What is your plan there with your schedule? Usually around this time, it is almost done, or you have some sort of a process for rolling it over in the following year. Do teachers know their assignments? Do students have classes for the fall? Do you need more classes? Do you need more hiring? Is that going to impact the classes that you offer because you have too many courses? What is it that you have going on with regards to your fall planning that you may be able to do by getting, let's say, a common collaboration period, or minimizing class sizes somehow? Getting on the forefront of that now is how you eliminate those problems in the fall. And so I don't mean to stress you out, right? Pause it, go back and listen again. If something on this list sounds like you need to do it, then bingo, get on it, right? But let's talk about your schedule a little more. Not the one for next year, the one that manages your day-to-day, right? Because our intent here was to figure out how to think summer thoughts. And so let's take a look at your current schedule. What are you working on, and when are you working on anything? Are you factoring in time to handle like day-to-day issues such as student discipline or compliance audits at a time like now? Because if you're not and you're working on them anyway, this is why you're in chaos. Your calendar is therefore not a reflection of how you spend your day. So how can you feel organized? I mean, think of it like this. I go to work and have 6 meetings all day, important ones, where teachers and support staff are banking on my presence. A 4 student fight breaks out, and 4 people on your team are now involved to investigate and take statements, call homes, hold meetings, file reporting efforts, right? Like process reporting in student information systems. And this takes 3 hours of the day. You bump into some of the meetings that you had, but just momentarily. And you had your administrative assistant cancel most of those meetings. And when all of this was over, with 1 hour remaining in the day, you were able to make your last of those 6 meetings from beginning to end. Now, instead, schedule a time block where you are visible and present. Call it that. Visible and present. Walk around, pop in, be visible. You may reduce incidents on campus due to your presence alone, but also enhance teaching and learning because you're walking around, or be present and better able to head things off because you're involved at the forefront and not after the fact. So when do you do what you planned before? Either in the morning before things get wild, or at the end of the day when either kids go home or you are surrounded by supporting staff instead, perhaps. But the point is, let's say you plan to be present during the same block daily, or even during staggering blocks and nothing happens, what do you do? You are present until you overstay your welcome. Then go back to your office and begin to get ahead of the game a little bit. With this strategy, you actually get more done and even can save yourself the additional work. Right? Think about that for a second. This is a Jedi mind trick of advanced leadership in schools. Plan for chaos, and you will find order in your day. The domino here is you will get things done and be better able to turn work off when you're not working. Here's another few things to consider to find your balance. So technology is so ingrained in our lives now, and I've said this to you before, conduct a self-time audit and literally see how you spend your time on which app you're spending your time on. How much time are you in an Insta hole? How much time flipping through videos? I mean, I went from TikTok to Reddit, and it's all the same crap. And sometimes I tell myself I need aimless, mindless searching to turn off my brain, but I'm training it to only like short clips that are of certain characteristics that usually bring me no value whatsoever. Now, I only try to read information online. Watching is reserved for YouTube, and that's when I need to learn something, I guess. What's your time audit showing you? Try it. Take this week coming up and try it. You can't complain about how you have no time if you don't know how you spend what you do have. Here's some advice for a good ending of the year so you can start to think summer thoughts. First, over-communicate. Remind. Re-remind. Conduct check-ins with your staff and try to find the time to hit everyone if possible. Why not? How many of your staff are waiting to talk to you about something? You should factor this into your day. Time block it at either the beginning of your day or around lunchtime. Otherwise, what happens? They come to you on the last week or on the last day, even worse, when it's practically too late. It's still your problem, but it's too late. How about this next one? Create committees, disseminate, and use your people. I can't say this enough. Use your people and let them take the reins. A true leader supports their staff and is a part of every team. Make your teams first and support them as best as possible. Calendar out regular and persistent meetings until either the task or year ends. Right? Those two are kind of the same. Considering using your people and over-communicating with everyone. Next one, review and document your end of year lists. So I gave this to you as a suggestion when we started this podcast. Let's say you have two people in your main office that you meet with. Review a list of what the responsibilities are for all parties at play. Figure out what needs to be done, reflect on what happened last year, and begin, if you have not, making a master list of items to accomplish. Then create a schedule that adheres to successful completion. Plan out all the way back to however long it will take, and working backwards, you'll know then the earliest you need to send out this checklist. Does that make sense? So in other words, have this end of the year list almost guide what needs to be done throughout the year. It's like backwards by design. Another one, celebrate milestones to keep yourself and everyone else in check, you guys. How about this one? 10 weeks until the year's over, above the office, old Ted Lasso style. 8 Fridays remaining until graduation. 30 school days left until summer. All of these allow you to check in with teams and staff at the end of the year stuff. Hey, with 9 weeks left of the year, here's what I would be thinking. When are my finals? When should I have all my work handed in by? When will I reach out to parents of those in doubt? When will I hand in my curriculum? When will I hand in my attendance? When will I hand in my grades? That leading line, 2 weeks until the year's over, do you have your grades done? You know, it reminds me of the old, it's 10 o'clock, do you know where your children are, or whatever it was. So think about that. But Also, how about celebrate your people with superlatives as well, if possible? With 7 weeks to go before summer, let's honor the most improved teacher of the year, or rookie of the year, or veteran teacher of the year, or most innovative, or most impactful, or best attendance, best room environment, best door display, or funniest moments. These go a long way. Play this part again if you have like a moment, and grab one of those superlatives from this list and try it. It'll go a long way. I know that the last thing you want to hear is someone telling you to stop and take a second to slow down, so you're more efficiently going forward, making eventually less work for yourself. I know that's not what you want to hear. And that's because you're going too fast, keeping up with how you're doing it now. This job will not change, you guys. This is the gig. It's fast-paced, it's in your face, it's thankless, it's extremely challenging, and it's crucial that it's done almost perfectly on a day-to-day basis. Plan for that. Factor it in. Include your people. Over-communicate with all of them and be present all the while. And you will see that this is a different way to define how you do your job, and it will allow you to eventually think summer thoughts. And should it make the rest of your year easier to finish off, I want you to know that I am Joe Clossy, your traveling principal, and I thank you for listening, but this is the least of what I can do if you allow me to help. Take care, everyone. Now go fix your schedules.